That's a lot of pressure, though, as a hairstylist sometimes.
Unless you've been doing their hair for 7 years.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, seriously, you just be giving her a mullet.
But I said yes. Crazy. We always have to keep passion for what we do in some way, shape, or form.
Yo.
What's up, man?
What's happening, dude?
Welcome to Rammstein. We're back in the Chevron room.
Yeah, we're back in the Chevron room, man. I freaking love it, dude. I like that. I mean, listeners won't know this, but there's a picture of a clown on the wall.
There is. That's Puddles.
Puddles.
Yeah, like we named him Puddles.
Puddles,
which
is good.
You know, Puddles is an artist. He did that cover of Royals by Lorde.
Oh, yeah.
That went viral years ago.
I remember that. Yeah. Puddles is great, actually.
Yeah. But, Ollie and I named him Puddles because it looks like he cries puddles worth at a time. He's pretty sad.
He is sad.
With the biggest bow tie you've ever seen in your life.
It's ginormous.
But I like him.
Yeah. He's cool. I like it, man. Welcome
edition.
It's good to be back in the Chevron room because we did live at Rammstein a couple episodes ago. That was awesome. And now we're back. So episode 26.
26.
26. What is 26? We were just talking about this.
Yeah.
Normally we have like quarter century or whatever, but like 26 is kind of blah.
Yeah, I can't think of anything exciting about the number 26. It's not like visually pleasing.
It's not.
You know, there's no things that are 26 that are exciting to me. I guess when you turn 26, you're like, you're in your late 20s.
Well,
all of a sudden
you get to pay your own like health insurance, right?
Right, yeah.
That's
maybe
kind of the 26 thing.
Yeah,
now
it's symbolic of being a grown up. Like 26 is the new 18.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
You know, it's probably true though that like 26 now equals 18 in 1940.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Yeah, like post-industrial U.S., 26 is the new 18.
I apologize to any 26-year-olds, but like you're the equivalent of an 18-year-old.
You're getting there.
70 years ago.
Yeah, keep working.
I mean, life was a lot harder back then, though. You know what I mean?
Well, and people didn't live as long, so you had to, I mean, things just went by a little more rapidly.
Totally.
Get to drag it out now. Yeah. Now we get to procrastinate. We're the procrastinate culture.
We kind of are, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, we could kind of go on and on about how easy life is these days, but I mean, it really is. Like, you can think of something and make it happen within a millisecond.
Yeah. Well, and just access to information.
Just think about in 1940, you would think of something that you wanted to tell somebody, and then you might travel 2 days to relay that information.
Or far longer and far further.
Yeah.
You know, you might have to cross an ocean. You know, or a letter did, or, you know, whatever. It's crazy. Information was slow, and it's so fast.
You could literally text somebody in China right now, and it gets to them in, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. I still don't understand.
I think we take that for granted, you know? I mean, we really do. We take a lot for granted.
Things become standard. You know, like, I remember, actually, just last night, I was talking to my sister and her husband, and we were talking about the internet and how you can play, like, the dial-up sound for, you know, Gen Xer, and they're like, what is that? You know, they like don't understand what the sound is. And for us, like, you know, if you're over, you know, 35, a website, you'd click on it and slowly watch it load. But the minute that it loads fast, that's your new expectation.
Yeah.
And then things just have to get faster and faster and faster all the time.
You know, I just switched I switched my internet provider, and I went from 150 megabytes per second or whatever to 650 average per second. It's crazy.
Which you may never even use.
But, you know, the funny thing about that is, like, I don't really notice that. I mean, like, I just watch TV and I cruise the internet a little bit. Like, I'm not a gamer, so, like, I can't really notice that. But
yeah, if you had, like, five people streaming different services all at the same time, it might come into play.
Four times the
speed. But for a family of three, like, it probably doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Overkill.
And it's crazy, too, because I cut my bill in half. So I went to AT&T Fiber, just like if you guys are out there, AT&T, you know, hook me up. But I went to them, their fiber or whatever, and man, it's crazy, crazy fast.
Yeah, I would do it just for expense, you know?
Yeah.
Speed would be a bonus, don't need it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, but like, honestly, the guy literally knocked on my door one night and he was like, we just put fiber in. Do you want it? And I was like, how much? I was like, really, how much? Dude, don't bullshit me. Like, after taxes and everything, what's my bill going to be? And is there a contract? Is it going to go up? And so we hammered it out. It wound up being, honestly, less than half what my charter spectrum was.
That's
like,
crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so, it is. Anyway. Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. It's exciting. I really feel like I made it in life, you know? So
that's what happens at 26. You've made it. You have a strong internet connection.
Sailboats, man. That's what happens at 44, you know? Yeah. Like, man, like, I'm starting to feel it. I feel middle-aged.
Do you?
I do. I kind of feel that way. Yeah, I hung out with Surgeon the other day. You know my buddy Surgeon. Yeah.
Shout out. Surgeon. I love Surgeon.
Yeah, he's the best, man. We went out for his birthday, and it was like me and him and like four other guys, and we just like hit it hard. Had a great time in Atlanta. And then the next day, my wife was asking me like how it went. I was like, well, I mean, it was pretty spectacular for six middle-aged guys.
Right. And we're all really tired today.
Yeah. Everybody was super hungover. Yeah. It was funny, man. But like, dude, it's middle age, bro. You're there too, bro.
Yeah, I am. I don't refuse to accept it, but I still feel connected to my youth.
Yeah.
And I want to stay there. Maybe part of it is like I have a teenager, so mm-hmm. it keeps me tethered to a point. But I mean, I know I love to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and if I don't get enough, I'm like, damn.
I feel connected to my youth. Like, I've been listening to a lot of different music lately. And, like, I always go down the rabbit hole with music, like, on Spotify and stuff, where I just, like, listen to a lot of new music and I really get into it, just like I did when I was 20, you know? And I never stopped listening to new music. And so I always feel like a sense of, like, youth through that. But, like, at the same time, like, I am starting to look in the mirror and go, man, I'm grayer than I was.
No,
like,
for sure.
You know, my daughter looks up to me, like, in a different way. And, like, you know, I mean,
well,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I guess I feel like an adult. Yeah. I feel like I can take care of shit now, where it used to really stress me out. Like, my car broke down, you know, whatever, a month ago.
Yeah.
And I just got it fixed. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, it would have been like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to fix it? What am I going to do? And now there's this like awareness of being an adult where you're like, well, you just take care of business and move on.
You know, there's, man, I've talked about this a bunch lately with some friends. Like, nowadays, life is good. Life is good. I mean, it really is. Like, I take my stepdaughter out to eat and I don't think for a second about what she orders. Or what I order. We just go and we eat and that's it. And I remember being a kid and like growing up in kind of hard times and like my parents being like, no, you can't get that. That's too expensive.
Yeah. Well, I remember. Yeah. I'd like, can I get a soda?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, no.
Yeah.
It's $1.19. You're Absolutely. Not getting it.
Yeah.
And it's for water. Yeah. And when I go out with my son, it's like it's more important to me that he's going to explore and try something than the expense.
Totally.
You know, I'm like, I mean, if it's kind of expensive, but if you're going to eat it, I do want you to try that, you know, whatever lobster roll, like go for it, man. Instead of ordering chicken nuggets, I'm all about it. I'm supporting his like growth. And then, but I'm not stressed out about the cost. Whereas when I was a kid, it was like, no, you're not getting that.
Man, it was way different back then, man. Like my little sister and I were talking about it not too long ago, how our parents were like that. And our parents would actually take us out sometimes for a decent restaurant, but it was still limited stuff, you know? And like, I don't know, nowadays it's just a lot easier. And I'm super grateful for that. I really am. I mean, like, man, you know, I think, you know, like I like to go to local hair schools and talk to them about career moves. And I feel really proud to be able to go to hair schools and show them that you can make a lot more money than like the average person thinks we can make.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
It's awesome. It's great, you know, but I don't know. Anyway, we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves. Right. You know, I'm glad we're back. It's been a while. So it's been like 5 weeks, I think.
Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, I feel like we should have done one last week, and here we are.
Yeah, but you know what? It's the holidays, so we got a lot to talk about with the holidays.
Definitely.
I mean, what are you drinking, bro?
Well, thanks to you, dude. This is Stereo Hopic by Lagunitas. It's an IPA.
Nice.
You know what really feels different is I'm drinking beer out of a bottle. I feel like I haven't had beer out of a bottle in a long time, especially for the podcast.
Yeah.
This is really good, man. It's very dank. Says it's Mekaron hops, which I've never heard of. Necaron hops and Citra. But it's nice. And then the stereo haptic kind of almost looks like a little pair of headphones or something.
That's cool.
With the hops, which is appropriate because I'm rocking headphones right now.
Well, I went to the store, and I know how much you love Lagunitas.
Yeah,
big fan. You're the person that got me on Lagunitas 6 years ago.
Oh, man.
You told me about Village Wayside, which is like a bar down the street.
Yeah, it's like the neighborhood pub. Yeah.
You were like, they serve $3 Lagunitas. And I
all the
like,
time.
Really? So I went down there and got it. I think it's like $3.50 now, though. It's gone up a little.
Yeah, they've gone up. But, right. I mean, it's been in like 10-cent increments per year or something. Yeah. So it still feels good. Because every other draft locally here, and I mean, we're in Asheville. It's a beer town. So
yeah.
But, I mean, you go someplace and the draft is $7.
Yeah, $5 is the minimum.
Five is like six, I would say, is normal. So to have something under four, Lagunitas is rock solid. Dude, man.
And I got to call out Catawba. You guys got to lower your prices. It's ridiculous. They're right across the street from us at work, and they charge $7
seven
for a beer.
$7.
Guys, come on. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's a decent beer, but it's not seven. It's not a $7 beer.
It's 100% a $6 beer.
So, not only is it a $6 beer, but here's the thing is you walk over to the cooler, and you can buy a six-pack of that beer to go for like $11. And I'm like, hold on.
It doesn't make sense.
Like, you packaged that and shipped it and it's cheaper. Yeah. Like, I feel like they're just capitalizing on the idea of a fresh draft.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous.
What do you have?
So I'm mixing it up. I think, so this has come up a good bit lately because we have Secret Santa at work and I've gotten a bunch of beers in my stocking at work and I'm super grateful for that. I love beer. You know that. But at home, I don't actually drink beer. I think people don't really realize that. I'm actually not a big beer drinker at home at all whatsoever. And the reason for that mainly is that it's like liquid bread.
Oh,
and
totally.
It just packs the fat on.
Yeah, it's a bag of bagels.
So if I'm going to drink in my house, I generally drink wine. And that's kind of it. Like, I just drink, I'm like a total wino at my house. I love wine. So anyway, tonight I was like, you know what? I bought a bunch of bottles of wine the other night from a local wine store and went home. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to grab a bottle of wine. I'm going to drink a bottle of wine tonight. So I got this. It's Pirano Estate Vineyards. It's a Petite Syrah. It's from Lodi. And the thing is, Lodi, California is like, I don't know, it's kind of near and dear to my heart because there's a old song called Lodi. I don't know if you guys know that.
It feels familiar.
Creedence Clearwater survival song or whatever, revival song. And like, I've always loved that song, Lodi. And I really, you know, just because I like that area doesn't mean like all wine from there is good, but like, my experience is like every Lodi wine is really good. And my favorite wines are basically Burgundy, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Petite Syrah. And this is a Petite Syrah. And it's a really cool Petite Syrah because it's like more mellow than normal. Petite Syrahs can be really tannic.
Okay.
So they can like have like a real harsh bite.
Right.
To
like
them,
overly
you know?
Bright.
Yeah. Well, just like big and bold and kind of like tart, like
take
real
the
tart.
Enamel off your teeth.
Yeah, it's like you have to have something to eat with them in order for them to be good. But this one's like super mellow, man. It's great. So anyway, that's what I'm drinking. So,
nice.
So I'm being bougie tonight.
You fancy ass.
Yeah. So anyway, man, happy holidays.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Kwanzaa, all of it.
All the above.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, I mean, just as we're saying that, I know we want to talk about the holidays first, and it's one of those things where, like, we do have to be conscious or, like, understand the fact that, like, maybe not everybody celebrates what you do.
Yeah.
Like, one of my clients just the other day gave me my, like, holiday card, and she was very clear. She said, like, happy holidays.
Yeah.
And I know that she's Jewish and celebrates Hanukkah because, like, maybe last year for Christmas, I was like, Merry Christmas. And she was like, Happy Hanukkah. And, you know, it was like one of those things. But like, I still have this thing in my brain where I'm like, oh, Merry Christmas. But in reality, we have to be like, Happy Holidays.
Yeah.
Because we're dealing with a massive spectrum of humans.
Totally. So, you know, one of my favorite clients was in the other day and they were doing Hanukkah and we were talking about that. And I mean, instinctually, I just say happy holidays at this point. I just do. It's like my natural inkling. And so we were talking about that. And then literally my next client was this lady, and she comes in. I was like, happy holidays. She goes, Merry Christmas. I'm a Merry Christmas person. That's what I say. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, wow, you don't have any friends that aren't like you, do you?
Yeah. Well, that's where you get the whole red state, blue state argument. Man, there are people that are like, no, it's Merry Christmas. And you have to say that.
Yeah. It's so funny too, because it's like,
stop letting the liberals hijack our.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Mark Twain had some random quote that talked about like traveling, and he said like traveling is like the cure for like
ignorance.
Ignorance.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. I'm familiar with that.
And I felt like that lady was the same. I was like, you really don't have any friends that don't celebrate Christmas, do you?
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, I have a lot. Yeah. I have a lot of Jewish friends. I have friends that just aren't Christian at all, you know, and like, and you know, so that's it. Like, so right. I don't say Merry Christmas to them. Why would I do that? Like, yeah. It makes no sense at all.
I still feel like sometimes that is my instinct, but yeah. I like hate that that's my instinct.
Yeah.
But it is just like growing up like white bread Wisconsin. It was just totally. Like that's what it was. But man, I have tons of like Jewish clients, and then like some like Jehovah's Witnesses that don't celebrate at all. You know, like you know, one of my clients just a couple weeks ago, I was like, "What are you doing for the holidays?" She's like, "Nothing. I'm a Jehovah's Witness," and I'm like, "Oh, I forgot. My bad." She's like, "I don't care. It's my choice.
Yeah,
like it's my thing."
That's a super cool attitude to have.
That's the right attitude. Like, you know, it's religions and celebrations should be a personal thing, and you know, like she shouldn't have to explain it to me, and potentially I shouldn't have to apologize for offering a celebration to her.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, my thing about this time of the year is like, you know, I mean, I love Christmas. I do. I love it. I grew up Catholic, so, you know, we always celebrated it, but I'm just super cheesy. Like the day after Thanksgiving, the decorations go up.
Same.
I'm super festive. I like the music. I really do. I like Christmas music. It makes me feel good. It reminds me of like, I just have good memories of it because I grew up in a family that celebrated hardcore.
Right, like it was a big deal.
So, and I mean, we all have different opinions about Christmas music. We all do. It's kind of funny because like you go to
I'm a little bit of a hater.
Oh, I know you are. Yeah. I know you are. But it's funny when you go to a salon or like when you talk to all the employees about like their attitude about Christmas music, 90% of hairstylists hate Christmas music. And I think it comes from an experience.
Yeah. From being stuck listening to it year after year after year. Absolutely. I think like my problem with it is I feel like it's just the same 100 songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was diverse, if the music was all over the map, or like, for example, Oliver and I went to WWE Friday Night SmackDown. That was
which actually you're sitting on the WWE chair right now.
Sitting on the ringsider chair.
Did somebody actually swing that chair at somebody?
No, that would make it way cooler. No, we were actually leaving the match and we had hit the merch table and got some, you know, memorabilia, and we were leaving and there was this couple and they were standing and they had a couple of these chairs, and like as a joke, Oliver and I were like, whoa, where'd you get that? I didn't see those at the merch table. They're like, we had VIP seats front row. You get to keep the chair. Somehow we ended up with four. Do you want one? And Oliver was stoked, man. Like, carried it all the way back to the hotel, like a mile. Like, we had to cross the street. Some people are honking at him. They're like, nice chair. And he, like, held it over his head. So, yeah, I'm sitting in the ringsider right now. But on our walk to the venue for the wrestling, we walked by this old school record shop. So the next day we hit it and we bought a record, and Oliver picked out this Christmas album. And I was like, of all the things.
Off the old block.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, like, this place has thousands of records. And he's like, well, Christmas is coming up. It'd be fun to listen to it while we decorate.
Yeah.
And we threw it on, and it's the dopest album ever. It's like a lot of it's instrumental. There's a lot of like big pipe organ on it.
That's
and cool. It was really fun because I was like, these are classic songs I know, but I've never heard this version. I'm sick of like the Bing Crosby's, the standard stuff, you know, like all the stuff that I've heard a million times. Like, that's the Christmas music I'm over. Yeah. Don't get me started on Mariah Carey, you know, like
that's funny,
that's hell right there.
Mariah Carey's funny. I mean, because it's like, man, it elicits some really negative emotions in people.
It's like a trigger. Yeah. It's like a fully automatic assault rifle trigger.
I mean, I'm personally not a huge fan of new school Christmas music of any kind. I like Christmas music, but it has to be paced out. Like, so I think at the salon, we like, I put out that thing, or somebody put it out.
It was like 12 to 2, yeah, right?
10 to 12.
10 to 12, yeah.
And the idea of 10 to 12 every day was that, like, that's the demographic of people at the salon that actually want to hear it.
That's
outside
fair.
Of that, it's going to be less. So,
well, and as we get closer to Christmas, those hours will expand, and I understand.
Yeah. It's all about like creating an atmosphere at the salon, but like you don't want to overdo it to the point that like people hate it.
Yeah,
know what I mean, so
which I think that's just the over commercialism of Christmas has started to sink in, because it's totally. Like. Everywhere you go to the gas station, it's on. You go to the grocery yeah. store, it's on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you go, it's happening.
Yeah.
So then when you go to work and you're trying to be like engaging and creative and you're working your ass off because it's so busy right now, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I don't want to hear this song again.
I know.
Like, I'm over it.
I know.
Get out of here, Frosty.
Yeah.
You're not welcome.
So Christmas holidays, man, like, so, you know, back in the day when I was kind of like a newer stylist, I dreaded the holidays at the salon because it was so busy. I couldn't handle it, you know.
Well, there's a general sense of chaos,
yeah,
you know, that comes during the holidays.
Yeah. And everybody was that busy, you know, yeah. I mean, it was so busy. We couldn't handle it. Now, this is a great problem, and I'm not trying to brag by any means, but our salon just... we are always like 100%.
Yeah,
like everybody is. So the holidays aren't really any different. I guess what's different for us is that like there are a lot more expectations from style or from clients.
From clients,
and
yeah,
we also
that's
have
fair.
People that are showing up that haven't been there in a while. Like, I don't know about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, they're ready for like their resets or gonna yeah. go see family or they're gonna sure. be photos.
I get kids that show up from college that I haven't seen in totally. 6 months, you know. So, yeah, there is a higher level of expectation. But, man, I love the holidays at the salon, dude, because it's like every day you show up between, like, December 10th and the 25th, it's like you get a bottle of wine or you get a car.
Yeah, no, the tips and the gifts from people are great. And we have, I mean, we have an amazing Secret Santa at work.
Yeah.
Which is just totally fun, man. Like, I get so into it. Like,
I know you do.
It's so fun for me. I love sabotaging and just screwing with people's brains.
Dude, that's great. So we have a Secret Santa where, like, everybody's got a stocking. We choose,
which is in a highly public area of the salon.
Yeah, very public. And we choose a name 2 weeks before the actual Secret Santa. And the idea is, like, to give little gifts here and there before the day. And then on the day, you give it like a real gift.
Yeah, proper gift.
The idea is to try to like keep it secret and then mess with them so they don't know who it is. And then on that day, you try to guess who it is.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I mean, it's pretty intense. I mean, like people give some serious gifts.
Well, dude, I mean, the gifts this year have been over the top. Like, I mean, I would say borderline extravagant where I'm mm-hmm. like... because we do set a budget, which was like $50.
Yeah.
And I feel like people have spent way more than that already.
I don't know who my Secret Santa is, but I feel like it's five people at the same time.
I know the gifts that I'm receiving are not just from my Secret Santa.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm well, certain I know that of that. Too. Yeah.
But I also know that I've given gifts to every single person at this line.
Yeah, I've spread out some things too, but mostly just to fuck with people's brains.
Totally.
And like, and then like there's the new people, especially like apprentices or any stylist that hasn't been there long enough. I make sure that they, like, I try to be sneaky and I'll drop a gift in and I see them see me do it in the mirror, but I'm not putting it in the stocking of my person. I'm doing that just to screw with them, to throw them off.
Well, dude, you're a black belt though.
Yeah, I take it
like,
to the next
you've
level.
You've literally set up fake email accounts.
This is true.
You've sent things from random addresses in the past.
Yeah, I've done like ransom notes where I cut letters out of newspapers and driven to a different town to mail them.
You're a Christmas psychopath.
Yeah. I'm a Secret Santa psycho.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah,
you
know.
You know what's funny is like we created a new, so we communicate on WhatsApp like a lot of people do. And so we had to create a new group because it was getting out of hand. And so it's the Secret Santa WhatsApp group so that we all communicate on. And it's funny too because everybody says thank you SS, you know, on that, you know, which is always weird to me because it's like a Nazi thing. So I see that all the time. I'm like, right. This is so messed up.
So weird.
but anyway, it's freaking awesome, man. Like, I've been having a blast. Like, I've had a really good time giving gifts too this year.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm not very good at shopping and giving gifts, but this year I've gotten really into it.
I mean, I feel like I get into it every year, but I feel like I've done a good job this year on taking it to the next level as well. Yeah. I don't want to say too much in case somebody listens before the party next week, because I know it'll get released, but I've been very strategic in my timing of gift deliveries and my placement and actually the gifts themselves. I'm pushing it, pushing myself.
Good work, buddy.
Thanks,
good
dude.
Work.
Proud of myself.
I feel the same.
Patting my own back.
I've done the best job I've ever done this year.
Well, I also want to inspire other people to go hard. Just like, earlier when we were talking about being like a leader in the salon and can I share a technique with somebody? Mm-hmm. I want to share Secret Santa techniques with people as well. This is more than just hair cutting. Like,
I love this.
Yeah, I want to show you how to take your game to the next level.
This is great. You know, I mean, because this definitely parlays into like our mentality in the salon and what we literally just had this big conversation with Jordan's sister and her husband Kevin, and like it was really great. We just did like a little pregame with them and we talked about leadership in the salon and like how it works for us at the salon. Like, we have a level system, and when you get to the top level at our salon, the expectation is that you're a leader at our salon. And what that means is that, like, I mean, basically, you know, you're a company person. You love it there. You want to give it to the next person. And I mean, at our salon, I mean, granted, we're in the environment that, like, it actually is awesome. Like,
everybody feels good.
I mean, everybody at our salon really, really likes working there. And we like the passionate hair. We want to give it to the next person. We love education. So these are all, like, you know, normal things. It's not like we have to convince somebody to do that, you know, but like,
well, they probably wouldn't work there if we had to convince them. It's part of the culture.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is a very cultural thing at our salon, and I'm super proud of that. I know Jordan is too. And it's like, man, that's where it's at. Like, if you're in hair, I know you heard like the intro to this podcast and it said about keeping the passion. And like, so I was on a bike ride with a friend of mine the other day, and we're literally riding side by side for 35 miles.
Okay.
And so we're just talking the whole time, just riding. And he was asking me about hair, and I said, and he said something about the passion thing. 'Cause he's like, I heard your podcast. Talk to me about the passion thing. And I said to him, I said, look, like, if you're not passionate about hair, you're just going to punch a clock.
Yeah, it's just a job.
It's just a job, and it's horrible. Like, so you have to make an extra effort. You have to actually work really, really hard to not punch a clock.
Well, I think, I mean, it's like, if it's just a job, like, jobs drain people. And I don't want to, like, try to define the difference between, like, a job and a career. But when you do switch over to career mode and you start putting back into it, you realize that that actually is the thing that feeds you to continue going.
Totally.
Like, it stops the drain. Like, if I was just there to crank out hair all day and I was crabby about it, I'd be drained at the end of every day. And now I'll go and crank out hair and give educational tips and give emotional support or whatever it may be, or camaraderie or laughter. It comes in a million different forms. And then that eventually, like, culminates and comes back and feeds me and keeps the passion injecting into myself.
100%.
So that I can keep becoming a stronger, better stylist and growing.
Well, I'll be honest with you, man. I think the reason why our Secret Santa is such a hit this year is like, and it is every year, is that, like, everybody's so into it. Everybody loves what they do, where we work, you know? I mean, don't get me wrong, man. Like, we're stressed out. Like, you know, we're all double booked and, like, stressed. And there's some tough times. But at the same time, like, we have such a strong crew. Like, and that's why Secret Santa is such a freaking huge hit.
Well, and because the energy is, like, how do we do this bigger and better than last year?
Oh, yeah.
How do I outdo the best thing that's ever happened? And that's inspiring.
And you've been here 10 years. I've been here 6 plus years. So it's like, you know, when you go that many years at the same salon, it's like going bigger than last year gets ridiculously big.
Yeah. Well, and at this point too, there's like, there've been moments where I'm like, ooh, I could recycle an idea, mm-hmm. but then I'm like, nope, keep moving forward.
I like it.
One foot in front of the other, keep chunking along.
Yeah. I like it.
Don't recycle.
I like it. So, okay. So, you know, Christmas is going. I mean, that's huge. All the hairstylists in this whole world can relate to how like crazy it is right now. And so we could go on forever about that, you know. But like, you know, we do have some other things we want to talk about. Like, we have a stylist. She had a client that came in the other day and for a consultation. Next thing she turns around, the client's DMing her. They're sending direct messages through Instagram, like from the get-go. So she gets like a barrage of Instagram right. messages. Yeah. So, you know, it kind of brought up a topic for us. Like the thing is there's the borders now are a little bit thinner than they used to be, you know? Like, we don't have the same protections we used to have. Like, people can come right at us, like, with DMs like that. What's your approach? Like, if somebody you don't know at all DMs you, what's your approach?
I mean, if I don't know who they are, if it's a random, I will usually engage them for a very short amount of time. And the whole time, I'm nudging them to talk to the front desk.
Now, here's an important thing to point out. Like, Jordan, you don't have a hair page. I only have a personal.
Correct.
And it's the same thing with me. I only have a personal page. I don't have a hair page. You know, this is a little bit different. So, like, if you have a hair page, you're going to be very used to people direct messaging you. And that's fine because that's your business. But, like, when you have a personal page, what are the boundaries of your personal page, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think that is an intriguing point because it's like, I mean, Instagram is such a powerful business tool. So if you're going to put yourself out there as a business or as a hair specific page, I feel like you're like almost inviting people to engage with you. You're asking for engagement.
For sure.
So you have to go a little bit deeper. For me, like, even on my personal page, I'm fine with people sending me messages. Mm-hmm. I really am. You know, a lot of my clients follow me and I'll follow them back and, you know, they'll send me funny little things or whatever. But if somebody's like, hey, I'm coming in next week and I have, you know, some inspiration, check out this picture. Like, yeah. That's great. But that's about right. When somebody starts asking me about something that I would say is outside of my, not qualifications, but what I'm comfortable doing, like, logistics and booking, there's a certain point where I'm like, this is why I work at a commission salon. There's a gatekeeper up front that does this for me. Mm-hmm. So I'll just kind of default, like, you know, the front desk takes care of all my scheduling, you know, so contact them. Here's a phone number. Here's a website. Here's the email. Mm-hmm. But I really don't mind people asking me questions or showing me inspiration. That's fine. But there's a certain point where, which is hard to define, where it's like, that's too much. And this specific thing that we're talking about with the stylist at work is, was it on her personal page or was it on her hair page?
It was on a personal page and she doesn't actually have a hair page. So
okay. I thought she did.
No, I don't think so. I think let's just
pretend that she does. Even if it was on a hair page.
Yeah.
It was too much.
Yeah.
You know,
well, we work at a commission salon, so we don't, these are not pages for people that own a business. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit different, you know, but like, you know, if you think about it from a client standpoint, if they book it at our salon and then they search their stylist and that stylist has a page, I don't think it's out of the question for them to message.
I think it's totally okay.
Yeah, I think it's totally okay.
Yeah, me too.
You know, but it depends on the page.
Like, well,
if it's not a hair page, you know, then I think it's a little iffy.
I think even if it's not a hair page, if you're public, you've put yourself out there, I still think it's okay.
Sure. For sure.
But in this specific instance, what you had was somebody that came in for a lengthy consultation already.
Yeah.
They had a great conversation about potential and things that could happen. And then immediately following that, I think it was, what, 18 messages?
Yeah, it was like 18 messages
that were following on. Hyper specific about this, that, and the other. Yeah. This is what my old stylist did. Here's things that you've posted that I like, which is okay,
yeah,
but almost a little creepy.
Yeah.
But then just, you know, I think that it was the attention to detail about mm-hmm. specific things that we know as stylists, those are variables.
Yeah.
I've never lifted your hair. I don't know if I can get it there. So sure. Well, let's go on a journey. Yeah. And those are the things that happen in a consultation face to face.
Yeah.
So when you say that thing and then somebody sends you 18 messages.
Oh, totally.
That's just a mega red flag to me. Yeah. That's like a, what in the world? I just feel like that person's going to be a problem.
Well,
if they feel like you're that accessible,
sure.
That's freaky to me.
Yeah, it was a little bit freaky. So the DM thing's interesting. Like me and you, we don't have hair pages. My page is clearly not a hair page. Like if you go to my page, you know. And so I'm not saying don't DM me, but like I've definitely not responded to a few that I was
same.
This
just gonna
is
let this one.
Page is for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't owe you a response.
Yeah,
you
know I think what I mean? Like to a point, mine is personal. There are hair posts that I've made, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
I would say like when I was an educator and I was traveling, I would post more about hair. Mm-hmm. But it was still almost a personal post. It was like, hey, world, family, people that I care about, this is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
This is where I am and this is what I'm doing. It wasn't like, look at my work. I want you to come to me so that you can have this. It was like, hey, I'm traveling and this is cool and look at this cool hair.
Yeah.
You know, so cool. I don't want to do too much. I feel like, I feel like I want to set that boundary pretty strong personally.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. So, you know, the last episode we did, like we had some pretty intense discussions about Instagram and we both got some feedback from that, you know, like, and one of the things that was talked about was reels. The other thing was that, like, you know, one of our stylists said to me, you know, this is something we've grown up on and it's very important to us. Like Instagram is hugely important. And I think that maybe we were a little bit misunderstood because it's not Instagram that's bad in any way, shape, or form. Like we were talking about earlier, like we get inspiration from Instagram. But there's certain parts of Instagram that I think that are a little bit overplayed. And I think there's expectations on Instagram that like the normal hairstylist doesn't need to meet. You do not have to have an Instagram page to be a hairstylist. I want to reiterate that 100-fold. You do not have to post on Instagram to be a successful hairstylist. It's not that way. I'm not saying Instagram's bad. Instagram's great. And if you want to be an Instagram stylist, be that. I'm not saying that's bad, but like me and you are 100% booked. We do not post on Instagram. So that's our disconnection there, you know?
Right. And like we talked about earlier, we're middle-aged, we're old guys. So, you know, so maybe we're not even relevant in this conversation.
100%.
But in my opinion, I feel like I re-listened to the last podcast and some of the feedback was like almost like we were being harsh or that we were like downing Instagram as a tool, which I never would. I use it daily. I think it's a lot of fun and I think that it can be very cool. And if people want to go on there and be goofy and shoot reels and have fun, it's like, if that's going to get you through your busy day and give you a smile on your face and make you happy, then that's awesome too.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, like I recently watched The Social Dilemma and it really is this thing where I feel like people look for validation within social media and to kind of start to define their success on how many likes they get from a post or how many people view a reel or whatever it is. And I think the thing that's so unique about what we do as hairstylists is we are on the ground every day and we get that validation by personally talking to people, listening to them, performing a service and making them smile. Yeah. And I think that human interaction, that human contact and the way that we can affect people literally with our feet on the ground, not up in the cloud on the internet, is so much more value to me, has so much more value to me. And that's the thing that I'm like, we have to recognize that we are physically touching people and that that's a big deal. And what we can do can make everybody feel awesome. It's just not, We don't need to live in this digital world.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to. And I mean, it's the thing about right now is, like, I think a lot of people complain about life right now. Complain about the way things are and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, what's beautiful about this world is, like, we have so many more options than we had when, like, we were young. And, like, you can communicate so easily. Like, it's
amazing. Like we talked about earlier.
It's beautiful. It's, like, amazing. Like, Instagram is amazing. Like, it's such an awesome tool. Like, the fact that, like, I can keep in touch with all my friends and see what their lives are like is so cool. Like, you know, 20 years ago, that wasn't an option. Before MySpace, that really wasn't an option. You had to email pictures to people.
Yeah, or like on the stylist front, I follow stylists from Russia. Mm-hmm. And I get to see what they're doing over there. And it's inspiring to me. And the work they're doing is cool. And sometimes it's like, that's not practical work that I'm going to do. But man, that's fun to look at. And it gets me out of my box and all those things. And for that, the quality that I get is massively impacts my life.
Yeah.
It's a positive thing. It's so cool to be able to watch a Japanese hairstylist sew hair and do something crazy. And I'm like, oh, that's ridiculous. Nobody's ever going to wear that.
Absolutely.
But that's how they did it. That's cool.
But I think our point, both of us, I mean, we're definitely kind of ragging on people that blow out reels all the time and, like, live their life on social media because, like, that's not, like, a normal hairstylist to me. I'm sorry. But
that shouldn't be a normal person at all. This probably
you're right.
Spans over 100%. Many industries.
But we're also saying that you don't have to do that. You don't have to be that because we've been successful without doing
that. Right, yeah, like, don't define your success by social media.
Yeah. It's an awesome tool, though. I mean, I literally go around to hair schools around here, and I teach a social media class. Like, I do that. I teach people how to build their clientele off of social media. It's an amazingly powerful tool. You can be whatever the F you want to be.
Yeah.
You can tell people you are this, and they'll believe you.
Yeah, so create a micro brand. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So anyway, so I just want everybody to know that, like, we're not totally bagging social media in any way, shape, or form. I love it. I mean, I really do. I love it.
Yeah, and if you find joy in it, I love that for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. So anyway, we've got our Christmas party coming up.
I'm freaking stoked. Yeah.
Christmas parties are fun because I was actually having a conversation with a guy today about Christmas parties. And he's like, dude, I wish I had a Christmas party like you guys. My Christmas party, everybody's so uptight, they won't even drink. And I was like, that's literally the opposite of ours.
Dude, one of my clients today said that their holiday party is this weekend and they have to pay their employees to go to the Christmas party. And I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And she said, she's like, it's a lot of, like, it's a landscaping company. She's like, it's a lot of, like, blue collar people that maybe live 45 minutes outside of town. So to get them to dress up and go to a thing, they're just going to go home after work on Friday and not want to come back. She's like, so they're on the clock. And I'm like, you are shitting me.
It sounds like a really high morale at that.
Yeah, distance, no kidding.
You know? Like, people like, love working there.
Yeah, I was like, our company party is out of control, man. Yeah. It's
people
like
people are literally renting outfits to go there.
Yeah. No, it's like I've been joking.
I joke about that, but
well, and everyone's like, what are you gonna wear? Because like a bunch of the stylists too, they're like their husbands or boyfriends are like, what's the expectation? What are you gonna wear? So I keep telling everybody. I'm going to wear a tuxedo.
Dude, I like that. And you said that today. Like, that's perfect.
My favorite part is, like, I think some people think I might actually wear a tuxedo.
Yeah.
But in reality, I might show up in a tuxedo. And maybe I'm Secret Santa-ing my outfit right now.
No, you 100% are.
Where I'm like, who knows?
I feel like you're going to show up in, like, a NASA spacesuit.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. Do I have time to rent one of those?
Maybe.
But yeah, so the holiday party this year is on my birthday too, which I was a little torn on at first. So, you know, I was like, well, it's my birthday. I feel like I should make my own decision on what I'm going to do. Yeah. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? It's my birthday and I'm going to be surrounded by a bunch of people that I love and care about.
What a great
I'm going to go out for a kick-ass dinner, have a bunch of drinks, not have to pay for anything or not much at all. Mm-hmm. And most of the people I want to hang out are going to be there anyway. So what a cool birthday. So I'm pumped, super pumped.
Totally. Dude, I'm stoked. I think it's going to be awesome. I don't think I've been this excited for a holiday party in a long time. Like, yeah, it's going to be great. So we're lucky, man. I mean, we have the best holiday parties. We all get together, we party, and then we all go out afterwards. Yeah. And so we do the, you know, the company Christmas party, blah, 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 to like 9 or 10. And then we all go hit the bar.
Yeah, kind of spider web out from there.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, we've hit the club.
Oh, yeah.
It's been like till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, like off the chain, like crazy.
Well, you know? I mean, speaking of Instagram, I had a series. I only did it for 2 years in a row, but I was like, I was joking, this is going to be my Instagram series. And it was photo. I would post a photo that I found on my camera roll the day after the holiday party. And 2 years in a row, I posted, and they were both hilarious. Hmm. Like both posts. I was like, okay, just woke up day after the party. Look at this photo. Don't remember it at all. But it's good. One of them was me.
You have to post it.
Yeah. One of them was me in a coffin.
Oh my God.
At the Grey Eagle. And the other one was me rocking a fur coat at,
I remember that. God,
like New Mountain.
No, New Mountain. New Mountain.
That was a rowdy party.
I miss New Mountain, man.
That spot was cool.
It was really good. Oh, man. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm ready for it.
So anyway, you know, just to get back to kind of some of the other stuff that we like to talk about. You know, one thing, we were talking to your sister and your brother-in-law earlier, and they asked us a really great question. Kevin asked us a great question. He said, how does it go when you work with assistants, and how do clients feel about that? Like when an assistant does something for you, and I thought it was an amazing question.
Yeah, like probably, the division of power. Like how does it work?
I thought it was one of the better questions that we've ever gotten for this show.
I liked it too.
Because it's complicated.
Well, it made me think is why I liked it as a question. I didn't have an answer. I was like, whoa, okay.
So just to give some groundwork to everybody listening, we're master stylists, and a lot of times we work with assistants, and our assistants will do most of the shampoos for us, I mean, by and large, and then they'll do a lot of the blow dries for us. Sometimes they'll do base colors for us or other things for us, whatever it is. And how do you balance that out with your clients? What are the clients' expectations and blah, 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 you know? So, and my answer to Kevin was like that, you know, a lot of times if a master stylist is not good at working with assistants, what happens with the client is they feel like they got gypped.
So yeah,
they
like got pawned off
to an assistant that did this work. In our salon now, like it is our policy that if you're a stylist and you have an assistant do something like a blow dry for you, that after that blow dry, you pick up your brush and your blow dryer and you go over that blow dry and you finish the hair yourself at the very end, just to do the finishing polish and the finishing style and all that stuff. Like, you're not allowed to just let a client leave after an assistant blow dries the hair. I mean, that makes no sense to me because they paid for you to do it.
I feel like a couple things happen. You have the opportunity to mitigate any imperfections.
Yeah.
Like if the blow dry isn't perfect, which I mean, it just depends on the level of the apprentice. I mean, we're not just going to throw them to the wolves. They're not doing blow dries until they're ready. You know, we train them, we put a lot of energy and work into furthering their careers, but still there are a lot of clients where they do want us, like you said, they're paying for us. So to get in there, grab your brush, you're making sure that it's perfect and you're letting the client know that you care. And I think that's a really important piece. And I think it says something to the apprentice too, when you go back over it, where they don't feel the pressure of their work being the final thing.
Yeah.
Cause that's intimidating as fuck for an apprentice too. Like,
sure.
Like, man, like, you know, now like the thing that walks out the door is on me.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't feel good. It's almost like we put too much on them potentially.
Well, I think from an apprentice standpoint too, that like one thing that they have to understand is that person paid to come see us.
Mm-hmm.
They did. Like, so in their mind, we are finishing their hair. Well, not them.
The apprentice is an extension of ourselves.
An insult to them in any way, shape or form, but they want their time with us. They do. They paid for their time with us. So we have to give them the time.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And another thing about this, there's so many dynamics to this. So like, you know, I've had master stylists come up to me and, you know, they'll say to me, like, such and such did the blow dry and they did, you know, shoddy job, blah, 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 you know. And then like me and you have talked about them a ton of times. That's where the master stylist has to turn around and go, you know, right back to the assistant and show them exactly how to improve on that.
Well, so yeah, not only do they have to do that, I think that that's how you define that highest level of master stylist. Mm-hmm. How do you go to an apprentice and say, thank you so much for helping me because I was busy.
Yep.
Here's what I saw that you could have done better. Let me show you how to do that better. Because then you're fostering excellence. You're helping the apprentice get better and you're not making the apprentice feel bad like they did something wrong.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody that, as a stylist that's, you know, maybe not a master stylist, you know, is like, hey, I busted my ass on that color and you fucked the blow dry up. You know, yeah. Like that's not a master stylist.
The and person we've that all says seen that happen.
Yeah.
We've all seen
yeah. that. And it, yeah. And like when you start placing blame on somebody else, it's like, it wasn't their job to do it. It was mm-hmm. their job to help you. And it's your job to make sure that they do it right and help them get better.
Yeah.
And that's a perpetual motion machine that's going to be positive.
Yeah.
And that's going to pump out good work. So
how many times have you had an assistant do like a shampoo for you? And then the person comes back with color still in their hair.
Yeah. I mean, multiple times. Yeah. Especially when somebody's new. Yeah.
So if you turn that person around and send them back to the shampoo bowl to get it rinsed out, which you have to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
if you're mean to the assistant, like, what is that going to do?
I mean, it's going to do a lot of bad stuff.
Well, if you send them back, the assistant already knows, like, they messed up.
That they, yeah.
And they already
that they didn't
bad.
Do their best work.
So yeah. The best thing to do is to actually be kind and be like, hey, let's go ahead and get this rinsed down. Let's, you know, like take care of this. No big deal. You did a great job, except for this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's the same thing with blow dries and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, if you're correcting something that they did and you're an asshole about it, like it's so much worse.
And the client's going to see you being an asshole too.
Yeah.
That's and
that's
the thing.
Extremely unprofessional.
Yeah.
To me.
So to me, yeah. Like if you send somebody to do shampoo and they don't rinse all the color out, mm-hmm. if and you say you didn't do that right, go do it again. Mm-hmm. Multiple things happen. The apprentice feels like shit. You kind of look like an asshole.
Yeah.
And then the client,
oh, you totally look like
and an the asshole. Client is extremely uncomfortable on that second round too. And then the client's 100%. Like, when I get back to that person's chair, what mood are they going to be in?
Yeah.
But if they come to you and sit down and they still have some color and you're like, hey, hold on, you still have a little color in your hair, and you grab an apprentice and say, hey, let's go to the bowl. Let me show you what you missed here.
Yeah.
Then the client lays down and you're like, if you turn their head this way and you hold the hose this way, and then the client's like, wow, you're so patient.
Yeah.
It's so cool that you're teaching them. And the apprentice is like, oh my God, thank you for showing me that. Nobody's shown me that yet. And then my hope would be that the apprentice goes home and is like, man, I screwed up at work today. And that person's the stylist that is there to help me. Supported me so much and showed me how to do it right. And they're probably never going to make that mistake again.
Nope.
But if you're like, hey, what the fuck? There's color in here. Go fix it.
Go do it. But they don't even know how to fix it.
That apprentice is quitting within 3 weeks.
Yeah. They don't even know how to fix it.
And they're going to complain about being an apprentice for the rest of their career. They're going to be like, oh my God, I was an apprentice. Yeah. This guy was such an asshole.
Yeah.
And they're right. They should be able to say that. Like,
and I'm not a fan of the old school way of just making people cry, you know?
No,
like, I'm not a fan of that.
Dude, making people cry is...
It's douchey.
It's not okay. It's just not okay. Yeah. That's not leadership.
It makes people feel That's, more powerful.
It's dictatorship.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not leadership.
I don't like it at all. So, like, me and you, we're both a fan of, like, just positive leadership at the salon. And that's how
it feels good for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was a great question from Kevin, and I really appreciate it, man, because it is a complicated question, like how you work with assistants.
Well, it is, and then, you get into so many, like, many, like, faceted areas of the salon. Like, mm-hmm. I don't trust an apprentice to mix my color at first.
Yeah.
Not until I show them how to mix color, and then all of a sudden you start speaking the same language, and then all of a sudden you can say, now that's their responsibility. So like for Kevin to ask that question, it's like, man, there's so many answers because the division of power evolves over time.
Yeah.
You know, it really evolves over time. With the time that it gets messy is when you have too much input. and not a clear enough, consistent path. That's when things get confusing.
So color with too much input is always dangerous. I mean, we've all gone back to the color bar and asked four different people, like, what they should do.
Yeah, he's second guessing what
you do. What would you do? And then it turns into a hodgepodge mess. And then an hour later, you're second guessing everything.
You're praying to the hair gods, too. Praying you're to like, the hair oh, gods, my God.
Man, I hate that.
You take two ideas that weren't yours and combine them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably not going to end well.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm trying to lift four levels with a level 10 developer, and I'm going to do this and that.
Yeah, and somebody's like, put gold in it.
Yeah.
You're like, why?
Put gold, but put super amount of ash in there, but then double up the gold to counteract the ash, you know.
It's and if you put like 8% water in there, it's going to, you're like, shut up. Like,
dude, so bad. Oh my God. So anyway, one other thing that Kev asked us about was like seeing our clients out on the street. Oh, yeah,
out in public. That was a good one.
And it was perfect because I actually went to a party tonight.
That's right.
For a friend of mine. She opened a clothing store in town, and I stopped by her grand opening party. She'll know who it is. I'm not going to say her name, but I showed up, and her hair looked on point.
Yeah, that's what you said. And
I was like, wow. That is awesome. I was super stoked because Kevin was asking us. He was like, do you ever see your clients out on the street and their hair looks like crap or whatever? And, you know, I mean.
And the answer is yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah 100% it does happen. You know? I mean, but the funny thing is if I see people out on the street, like, I'm not generally looking at their hair.
Yeah, I'm not judging their hair. Yeah. I'm really not.
I'm not even thinking about it. It just doesn't come to mind, you know? I don't walk around constantly judging hair. You know?
Yeah, there was a moment in my career where that was true. I would be at the grocery store and judge strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that I don't have enough energy. This is not a sustainable practice.
If it really sticks out as crazy, I will. But like for the most part, sure. I'm not.
If it's comical, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, but anyway, this lady's hair was great. And the funny thing is like I saw her, I don't know, 3 days ago, and I told her to buy a curling iron. Yeah, and do a specific technique. I didn't even show her. I just told her. And she went and bought that and did her hair tonight. And I saw her and I was like, holy shit, man. Like, your hair looks amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. It was really cool. So, you know, Kevin, yeah. You know, sometimes we see people and it looks amazing.
Well, and I mean, Asheville is a small town. So we are going to bump into clients.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and one of my comments to that question was, sometimes I'll see somebody and I realize that I might not be doing something wrong because this doesn't fit their lifestyle, their styling routine. Or I'm like, oh, their hair doesn't look great. Mm-hmm. I could fix that with the cut because I see clearly out in the wild that they're not going to style it. They're not going to fix it via style.
No.
So now it's my job to fix it via building a shape.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, man. So the one last thing is Kevin asked us about shoes. Like, what shoes do we wear at work?
Well,
have we talked about this before?
I think we did talk about shoes, but yeah, I think Eli was asking about like what it's like to be on your feet all day.
Oh, that's
a good question. You know, like what is it like to be on your feet all day and is that hard? And the answer is yes and no.
Yeah.
You know, like I was saying that I used to work at Sam's Club back in the day and I pushed shopping carts and I never minded that. But when I worked the register, standing in place would kill me.
Yeah,
concrete floor. We have nice pads behind our chair, but I think the general consensus is we're moving.
Yeah,
and as long as I'm moving, it doesn't bother me to stand. I think it beats the hell out of sitting all day.
Yeah,
you know, like, but I do make shoe selections based on my shift.
Yeah,
you know, there are certain shoes that I know I can wear for 10 hours. And
what's your favorite pair of shoes?
I mean,
to stand in.
Yeah, I mean. I kind of oscillate between boots and sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go back and forth on what's better.
Yeah.
Recently, I mean, I've been rocking some like throwback Jordans, like the Jordan 4s.
And those are good to stand in?
Dude, they're so good to stand in. Yeah. Like,
well, they're the air sole.
Yeah, but they're also still firm. Like,
yeah.
You know, like I remember when we talked about shoes back in the day, I was talking about, I'm rocking them right now, my Yeezys.
Yeah.
These are the most comfortable shoes I've ever put on.
Yeah.
But they're too squishy.
Too squishy.
Yeah. So for like a long day, they're way too squishy. So if I'm working like 6 hours, I can wear them. But I really love my Docs. I have multiple pairs of boots. My Palladiums, man.
Yeah, Palladiums.
I can stand in my Palladium boots all day. Yeah. I think it helps when the footprint of the boot is bigger than the boot itself. Like if the sole extends beyond the body of the boot, it's like there's a platform. And I actually do like to have a little bit of a heel too.
Yeah.
There's something about the stance in that that's really nice.
I need a little bit of a heel. Yeah. It works for me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's better. And it gives me just that little bit of height.
Yeah.
It gives me that 1 inch.
Yeah.
You know, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah, for me too. I've always like wanted shoes that have a little bit of a heel if I'm going to stand. So I'm like you, man. I got to move. If I'm moving, I'm fine. It almost doesn't matter what shoe it is. Yeah. As long as I'm moving all day long.
The key is moving. And we're putting in more than 10,000 steps every day.
Easy.
You know, like, because I mean, there are times where I absolutely stand in place. I probably stand in place the most while I'm applying color.
Yeah.
You know, I turn the chair because I have a cart set up and I'm, you know, right-handed and I have my motion. Yeah. So maybe 20 to 30 minutes I'm in one spot.
If I do like a 2.5 hour like application of something, I'm going to hurt.
You know, I don't think I ever do a 2.5 hour application.
Well, it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
But like if I do, like I watch people on Instagram that do these and I'm like, oh my God, dude, your back and your fucking feet.
I would still think I would have to just pull the cart and move.
No way. But no, I mean, the longest application I do is about 1.5 hours. The longest.
Yeah, I'd say.
And that's very rare.
Yeah, I'd say my longest, like normal application, I'd say it'd be like 45 minutes.
Exactly. Well, but my average is like 30 to 45
minutes. Yeah, but even that 45 minutes is like putting a base color on, leaving, walking to the color bar, mixing up lightener, coming back and doing highlights, and still 45 to 50 minutes, I'm done with the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I took a walk in the middle of it.
Sure.
And then when I'm cutting hair, I for the most part, I utilize the chair up, down, spins. Yeah. I use that, but I still move around from side to side of the chair. Same thing when I'm blow drying because I'm limited by my cord. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes I'll take a couple steps to the right, you know, to get closer to my plug. So as long as I'm moving, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And again, I maintain it's way better than sitting. I have lots of clients, friends that, you know, work from home, it's work in the office soul, all day. Yeah, and I think that sitting all day is hard.
Yeah.
I think it's way harder than standing all day.
I think it literally hurts your soul to have to do something.
I think so.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, I have to work with my hands. That's me. I bet you're like that too. Like, there's no way you could do something without working with your hands. Like, I need to physically know what I'm gonna do all throughout the day.
I love to build and create things, and I mean that professionally, but like we threw some darts before we started down in the garage, and I was like, built that cabinet. It was like after work one day, awesome. Like the way that I unwind is to build a dartboard cabinet. You know, I love to work with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
But then I joke because like I think Oliver is going to make whatever he does for a living, he's going to be using his brain and not his hands.
Yeah.
Like watching him unlock a deadbolt or tie his shoes is painful. Like the fine motor skills just aren't there. I mean, love you, buddy. If you ever listen to this one. But you know, it's just like, I don't think that like, I haven't seen him yet get fulfillment from creating something. Even like, because you see kids do it with like Legos, and like he's just never been that kid. Yeah. He's much more of like a philosophical. Like he'd be a great attorney. Like he's gonna work with his brain, and that's gonna fulfill him. Yeah. For me, I want to stand and do something with my hands.
100%.
That
were you a
happy.
Lego kid?
Not really.
Yeah,
I mean, I really wasn't
for sure. I don't know. I was always a hands-on kid, you know, and I mean. I went the route of like intellectual stuff, like through college, and like, man, it was so unfulfilling to me, like that I've come back to the craft thing in my life and been so much happier with the craft, you know,
It has to be something physical. And then I like creative problem solving and that's probably, those would be like, on my deathbed, if I have to define what it is to be a hairstylist, I would say you have to use your hands to craft a unique problem solving. You have a unique problem solving approach.
Yeah.
And you have to craft something to solve that problem.
But let's be honest here. Me and you, we're professional talkers.
That's true.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is true.
I mean, why are we on these microphones right now?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. We're not using our hands at all.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, dude, I'm really excited for Christmas. I've had a blast this December at the salon. It's good to get back on the microphones with you, man.
Same here, man. It's probably the last one of the year, so.
Yeah.
You know, salute.
Yeah. Happy 2021. Man, it went by with a flash. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So fast.
Slowest year ever to the fastest year ever.
All right, buddy. I'll see you next year.
All right. Peace out, bro.
Like.